Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM, but if you're away from the radio, you can always stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. Download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program, kind enough to join us each and every day on the program. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Howdy.
Our company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday. He, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, airing on weekends at 9 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listing. You also hear him on VSiN Primetime. Download the VSiN Watch app on Twitter, on X, at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy, howdy. Hoping to hit a lottery. I got 1.8% chances to make it happen, so I'm feeling good.
I know the Wizards are not exactly the lifeblood of the D.C. sports scene, but that wasn't really a great night for D.C. last night.
No, it was not. Walk-off loss in baseball. I believe we've now lost, the Washington Nationals, I believe, have lost now six straight. Probably going to fire the manager at some point.
That seems to be going around these days.
The Capitals got smoked. And, well, I guess not smoked. They made it a one-goal game twice. And then they got number six in the NBA draft after going, 21-61? So
all I know is that you're undercashed.
Yeah, I underdid cash. So, yeah. Hunky-dory time. No, it wasn't 21-61 because my under did cash.
Did you have 19.5?
I had 19.5 under. So I think they got like 18. Got a little frisky at the end there. 18-64. So, woo! Yeah, remember, that was something.
I remember they had that devastating win against the Kings, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was bad. Yeah, they were like 14-point dogs, and I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to end well. And then I think they lost to the Sixers. That was big. That was a big loss to the Sixers at home late in the season to get me over the top. But, man, I just...
18-64, there you go.
You got to think... you see all these videos of, the buffoon Nico Harrison and, all of these other celebration videos. You think back to, was it 2019 when the New Orleans Pelicans won the lottery?
Was the first one I remember because that was the Ja Zion draft. Yep. And the Grizzlies were down to two. And my wife and I are Mexican. She's like, we could get Zion. I was like, I don't care. They just got the number two. Like, that was a two-player draft. And history has shown that.
I would love to see the videos of the Utah Jazz, Charlotte Hornets, and Washington Wizards ticket sales offices. Just the devastation that set in last night as the ping pong balls fell the way that they did. So, Yeah. What an interesting night in the association. It started with the Giannis news. Then you get the lottery to go the way that it did. And then Jason Tatum, Achilles explodes. So maybe. We don't know, I guess, officially what it is.
You know what I've decided I'm out on? I don't even... When did this really start? The super...
People rupturing our Achilles tendons?
Well, we'll get into that. Because I actually... I saw a guy that's coach on Twitter. I think he is asking a legitimate good question. Because there's some stuff that has just annoyed me with the way NBA teams have treated... The way that they've allowed us to get to where we are. But I want to save that for just a second. I am so out on... We watch a player who is... Jason Tatum is 28. Is that correct?
Sounds
right. He's either 28 or... I think he's 27 or 28. He goes straight to the ground. He is withering in pain, holding the back of his ankle. I am so over this. We cannot speculate on injuries. You can always just do this. He goes down with an apparent Achilles. Like, we've done this stupid thing where we watched Joe Theismann break his ankle on Monday Night Football, forever changing how offensive line play works. Do you think they go, we'd hate to speculate on injuries right now? Well, his bone is sticking out. It's social media climate. It's like, hey man, he goes down with an apparent Achilles. Like I just don't understand why we have to treat all these injuries as if we're worried about legal precedent. We watched him go down. He was the one withering in pain, calling timeout.
I'm just, I don't know why this popped in my head. Do you remember the clip in Billy Madison where they're all watching television and then they have a promo from the news and it says, old student, or hotel typhoon son allegedly cheating, and then Norm MacDonald jumps in, now, maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, we gotta see who it is, man. Could be somebody else. Nah, it's Billy.
That's kind of how I felt last night. I don't know. He was all time, man.
Well, then think that guy lost his job because he would openly mock O.J. Simpson, and all the NBC executives that played golf with him were like, "No, you can't say that." Norm kind of won that one.
Then he came back a year later and hosted, and his monologue was like,
tremendous.
They told me I wasn't funny enough. I guess you guys are now not funny enough because you've invited me back.
Yes. Well, his ESPYs, when they ever did the first ever ESPYs,
it's
one of the all-time great monologues, but I digress. All right, so let's get into the lottery, because this is how I feel about it. You can make the jokes, all right, NBA made good to Dallas. But that largely stems from the fact that we still don't have a satisfactory answer to why did Luka get traded to the Lakers. All right, that's fine. Here's my bigger problem. I don't believe the lottery is rigged because they bring everyone back there and you're basically put into an NBA conclave. And they do it in front of people. So I don't think it's rigged.
Well, and I saw this point and I am not a big conspiracy theorist either.
The one I have a problem with, and I know the sports guy doesn't, I have a really tough time believing that Donaghy was the only official that was on the take.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. And I also think that the lottery for the New York
Ewing.
Knicks when they got Ewing was 100% rigged. But Nate Jones made a good point on Twitter, and he said, if you believe in a draft lottery conspiracy, you're accusing Ernst & Young of actively participating in fraud. So, they put out the video.
Well, we
of
have
how
seen
it
accounting
down.
Firms. I don't know if you're familiar with how Enron worked, but we've seen accounting firms do that. You pay enough money, they can certify elections.
True. No, I don't believe it's a conspiracy theory. I just can't believe the moron in Nico Harrison gets a mulligan like this. Like, also on the night that Jalen Brunson goes for, what, 38 or whatever he did, and they let him walk even though it seemed to be in the works no matter what.
I could keep going back to, I think initially why they let Brunson walk is they drafted him in the second round. They just thought he was on a heater.
Isn't that the job of a general manager?
I mean, I would agree. Is Nico the GM at that point?
That I don't recall. He might not be. I don't know. I'm not here, and it has nothing to do with my, in air quotes, allegiance to the Wizards. I could give two craps about the Washington Wizards, to be honest. It's wild to me that a team like the Dallas Mavericks, who were in the NBA Finals last year, made arguably the worst trade in the history of the NBA, now get this in sports, and now get this life preserver of, in my opinion, the best college prospect since I don't know when. I mean, Patrick Ewing? Honestly, like, think back to the last time we had a college prospect.
Melo, maybe? Melo
didn't go one, though. He didn't even go two.
Yeah, but he should have gone two, and that was also, in fairness, LeBron's draft.
Of course. Like, Victor and LeBron were bigger prospects than Cooper Flagg and projected to be better than Cooper Flagg. But from a player who played in college, I can't recall a player of this level. And maybe it is Carmelo back in 03. So you're getting the opportunity to draft a franchise-changing player when you were in the finals a year ago. But look, that's the lottery, and that's why, you know, they set it up the way that they did, and, you know, they had a 1.8% chance to make it happen. And then you got the San Antonio Spurs, a team that just continues to have the luck of all luck, I feel like, in the lottery. Last year, they get Stephon Castle at 4. I don't know what their odds were to get that high. Year prior, they were not very high to get Victor Wembanyama or get the one pick. They got it. And now they land 2. And whether they keep 2 and get like a Dylan Harper or they put together a package for Giannis, which seems a pretty decent reality that the San Antonio Spurs, if they wanted to, they could go get Giannis, I think, with the second pick, the 14th pick, Stephon Castle. I mean, I don't know how much more they would need, but they could put together the most terrifying front line in like the history of the game with Giannis and Victor Wembanyama.
Well, I mean, it would be David Robinson, Tim Duncan in a modern version.
Yeah. And I was talking, look, I've mentioned it before. I do a radio show in Milwaukee, and they are none too pleased about the rumors circulating. And I'm trying to tiptoe around it. He's gone. I'm
okay. So, but aren't the betting markets still showing the most likely outcome is he stays?
Now, I get that. That's largely because we don't know who the bidders are going
to
be,
and he's still on the roster. So, I think you have to still favor the Milwaukee Bucks, and we're still waiting for more to ultimately come out from that side of things. I'll be honest, man, as crazy as it sounds, I think the Bucks should trade him because they're screwed, man.
Okay,
like, roster is they can't do anything to enhance that roster.
Okay,
right
here would be my only argument, and going back to tonight, and this has kind of been my whole deal. With Giannis, and as good as he is, you can still surround him with enough to be a top half of the East team. Because to me, like, this is the other thing about the draft lottery is, man, we just are having all of these players just assemble in the West. And the East is just, all right, man, give yourself a puncher's chance. And what we have seen, and everyone kind of does the move like, oh, this playoff's getting dictated by injuries. And it's like, did y'all forget what happened a year ago? Like, there were people that were legitimately criticizing Boston. their path was so easy because every team they played had injuries. Okay, that's the way that it breaks sometimes. Guess what? Boston's on the tough end of it this time. And so maybe the lesson is, like, the Knicks are a team that nobody took seriously as an actual contender, and now things are breaking their way to where they're going to play the Pacers with a chance to go to the NBA Finals.
And they'll be the favorite in that series.
And so this is kind of my whole NBA deal, where it's like, we make these snap judgments about whether or not you're a contender, and we lose sight of there is value of being good and getting a chip and a chair at the table in the playoffs.
No, I mean, look, you're right. And if Milwaukee decided, I think, you know, look, the big question, and it's probably going to be nauseating all summer long because we're going to get little morsels. And I think what Shams reported is a morsel. It wasn't Giannis's camp says he wants out. It was, maybe he's open. Maybe he's he'll listen, right? Like, we don't really know how that's all ultimately going to play out. So,
but I mean, to your point, I do think there is a legitimate argument. If you're Milwaukee, you can say from a basketball perspective, Giannis is still young enough to where if you trade him today, you can get a maximum return, that there is a long-term better interest for the Bucks than if you were to keep him. My only point with keeping him is this is a business too.
No doubt. And look, yeah, I mean, Giannis is the king of Milwaukee. There's no doubt about it. And he is playing at an elite level. He's going to probably finish third in the MVP. So if he comes to the front office in Milwaukee and says, I don't want to leave, I want to stay here, you say, great, we'll figure it out. But if he is open to the idea, you've got to consider it, especially, look, I don't think Dallas, as stupid as Nico Harrison is, I don't think they would trade the number one pick. But if they were open to it, I think you got to do it.
So I think the thing that has to matter is you cannot have Giannis say, I want to be traded and send me to here. Because my fear in this is I want to be traded, I want to go to Miami, and then Pat Riley's going to do, I'm going to get the best deal for Pat Riley, and rather than getting the best possible return. Like, to me, it seems like Milwaukee wants to do right by Giannis, and I think Giannis wants to do right by Milwaukee. And so you start to, okay, where are the spots that make sense for both parties?
I think the state of Texas. I think Houston,
I think there's
San Antonio,
one more, but I
Dallas.
Also think these playoffs matter. I think the one that makes the most sense is Oklahoma City. Now, I would argue there's a little bit of redundancy because I really think if Oklahoma City were to stumble and not get over the top, I think their problem's shot making. And I don't think Giannis fixes that. But in terms of best partner that would have the most amount of talent, most amount of picks, they'll offer you the best return, it's Oklahoma City. But if
you're... Are they willing to part with Chet?
Well, I think the bigger question, though, is if you're Oklahoma City, well, I kind of got to know how this summer goes. If we win a title, I'm good enough to win a title next year. Why? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I just keep running it back, building, and hoping that I can build on this? But there's three...
Golden State, I know they didn't win the year that they got Kevin Durant, but they were the best regular season team in the history of the NBA, had won the title before, and still went out and got Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if Oklahoma City, you've stockpiled all of these picks and all of these assets, yeah, if you can go get Giannis, I'd say you do it. I've been waiting forever. Like, they made some moves, right? They went out and got Caruso last offseason, which was I thought a really good move, and it paid dividends in game four against Denver because Caruso was awesome in that game. They went out and spent money on Hartenstein.
Yep.
But I'm still waiting for them to make the move. And maybe it's Giannis. And maybe they just say, here, put it all on the table. This is, you want it all? Here you go. But the question is, for Milwaukee, you need a piece. You need multiple pieces, because the thing that we keep coming back to with Milwaukee is, unless they go back and get their picks back, Like, who did that this offseason? Was it Brooklyn?
Brooklyn got their picks back. Brooklyn got some picks back from the... Was that the...
From Houston? I can't remember. There's been so many damn trades. But right now, Milwaukee doesn't have their picks, right? And
correct.
They really can't afford to tank unless they get their picks back. So if you're Milwaukee and you do ultimately pull this trigger to get rid of Giannis, you need to kind of be good still. So it would involve, in my opinion, getting someone of the level of Chet or going to San Antonio and getting a Castle in addition to the second pick and the 14th pick this year, or Houston and their litany of young talent that they've got on that roster. Dallas would be interesting because, well, I guess you're not trading Giannis to Dallas unless you get Cooper Flagg. Right?
Yeah, no, there's no way you're trading him to Dallas.
That
would be the trade that LeBron orchestrated when we went back to Cleveland. Like,
except it was Cooper Flagg is way better than Andrew Wiggins ever was.
Yeah,
going
no,
to be.
I agree. But it was, Wiggins was considered an elite prospect.
He was, not Cooper Flagg.
Agreed.
But very good, yes, very good prospect. But
this was
Kevin,
not the Michael Kevin Love Bennett trade or Anthony Bennett trade, whatever.
Right. And Kevin Love is not Giannis, but Kevin Love was a multi-time All-Star and worked out well for them, and honestly didn't really work out well for Minnesota, right?
No, I mean, they've kind of wandered in anonymity. So I still think, though, I think the thing that I've actually decided, the reason why I'm out on the lottery is, what is the point of it? Because, and really, what is the point of the changes? Because the changes were designed to prevent tanking. Do you see less tanking today?
No. I'd say this is the only thing that you get. At the end of the season, I'll use the Wizards, for example, and why I was sweating out the under 19.5, because they were playing decent basketball late in the season. They were trying because they knew that they had secured one of the bottom three spots, right? So I guess you get a little bit of that, but let's be real. Philadelphia, because they had their pick owned by Oklahoma City with top six protection, they were blatantly tanking down the stretch to try to stay in the top six so they could keep their pick. And guess what? They got rewarded by getting the third pick in the draft with a roster that's got Joel Embiid and Paul George on it.
Yeah, I guess the way I'm just looking at it, though, it's like, okay, you put in these rules to prevent tanking. Does anyone see less tanking?
No, and like, let me ask this question. Is this good for the game? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it.
I guess the real question
because is... Because San Antonio, a team that made a big trade at the deadline to enhance their future with De'Aaron Fox, they've got the Rookie of the Year in Stephon Castle, they've got a generational freakazoid in Victor Wembanyama, and now a team that had a 6% chance to get the number one pick lands with the number two pick that they could get... By all accounts, I don't know if he's a generational player, but Dylan Harper's going to be a really good pro. Is that good for the league? Or do you prefer it to be like the NFL, where the worst teams get the best picks, and that's why you see a lot of parity in the NFL? And teams like the Wizards and the Hornets and the Jazz will remain irrelevant.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is, like, what is the draft lottery trying to establish? And let's set the BS aside. Forget what their talking points are. What is their actual intent? And if their actual intent is we want to just kind of keep it a little bit random, and, you know, the NBA is an entertainment product, and, like, let's be real, this is content. Like, are they just in the content business? Because the bigger problem that I see is you've now that you've flattened the odds and you've added the play-in, you've now put this weird position in where the Grizzlies went through it. And the Mavs, do you think the Mavs are happy or sad that they lost to the Grizzlies and didn't get to go play Oklahoma City?
I think happy.
So now you've created this thing where you've actually now incentivized your fans to really not root for you to get into the playoffs. So what are you actually accomplishing? Now, I can kind of meet you halfway and say the, All right, I don't know if we just need to do the pure NFL. It's like, all right.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
So I remember the week of the play-in, you made the point. You were like, I don't really want them to make the playoffs. They're going to get their ass kicked by the Thunder, and I just don't see the upside because you lose your first-round pick. Think about the difference, and I don't know, who knows how the ping pong balls fall. But the Grizzlies make the playoffs, get bounced by the Thunder, blow a, what, 29-point lead?
Yeah, and you also had to emotionally watch Ja Morant go down again.
Ja Morant gets hurt again. You got to, in air quotes, enjoy two home playoff games, which were disastrous.
They enjoyed 22 minutes of one.
And then on the flip side, the team that you beat now gets a generational prospect in Cooper Flagg. And oh, by the way, the pick that you had is now gone to the Washington Wizards, but it was lottery protected. So instead of having your first round pick and having a small glimmer of hope, because let's be real, back on February 18th, before this game tipped off, I don't think anyone out there thought there was a reality that they could get Cooper Flagg, but there was. And guess what happened? The Dallas Mavericks are going to get him. Think about right now what we'd be talking about this morning and for the next however long. If the Memphis Grizzlies lost to Dallas on February 18th and then last night found out, oh, you're rewarded with the number one pick and it's going to be Cooper Flagg and Ja Morant for the next decade in Memphis.
Well, you're feeling a lot differently. Now, it is also, it's important to note, if the Grizzlies would have lost to the Mavs,
they wouldn't have had 1.8. I think
they would have been the 14th. And I believe, yeah. Was Atlanta 14? I think Atlanta was 14.
Atlanta was, and that conveyed to San Antonio. Yep.
So San Antonio gets that. So to be clear, this is not like if they would have lost.
It's not apples to apples.
Right. But you've now put all these teams in the position where you've now actually wound up devaluing your play-in, which you've tried to sell as a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Because the team who lost on the precipice of making the playoffs ended up getting rewarded with the best collegiate prospect in maybe two decades, if not longer.
Where did Atlanta finish last year? I feel like Atlanta's always in the play-in, so I just...
I actually have this pulled up because we were chatting about this a little bit before.
Atlanta was the eighth.
They had the ninth worst odds. They had a 3% chance of...
Do you have where they finished in the East? Because I swear to God, I feel like they played in the play-in.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost
their heat. 36-46.
Yeah, they played in the play-in. So now we have
40-42.
We have two consecutive teams that played in the play-in and lost and got the number one pick.
Oh, sorry. You were talking about 2 years ago. My apologies.
Yeah, sorry.
24.
My bad.
So did they play in the play-in?
Please.
Yes, they did.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, I think they got smoked by the Bulls.
That sounds right.
All right, I want to make sure. Yeah, they did. They got beat by the they got smoked by the Bulls. Okay, so my point being, you've now actually wound up with the unintended consequence of devaluing your whole play-in, and you keep trying to force that down our throats. Honestly, the idea that makes the most sense to me, and they're never going to do it, but the one that I'm cool with is, all right. If you're all about trying to flatten this and prevent tanking, have everybody that loses a first round playoff series all go into the pool and give them all flat odds. But my whole thing is, I don't really think the draft lottery needed to be tweaked when they started tweaking it. You haven't actually fixed anything. All you've done is now you've created this spot where a team that can basically have the idea of, hey, man, let's just punt this game. And they can get in and get the one. What is the actual point of this? Because I'm at this point, man, I'm not necessarily convinced that there would be any less tanking if they just did the NFL model, which is where you finish is where you draft.
You might get, like, the year of Victor and this year, maybe you get it a little bit more, and maybe a team like the Wizards doesn't show a glimmer of life down the stretch. I don't know.
Are we really saying a team that plays hard in April when everyone's just saying, get me to the playoffs, that's all of a sudden good for the game?
No, I'm trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate.
But see what I'm saying?
Or you just go back to what it once was, where the worst team gets 25% chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what they have attempted to do has not solved what they were trying to solve. Unless what they were trying to solve was not what they were saying they were trying to solve.
Yeah, or to your... Is it the NBA... behind closed doors being like, yeah, well, the crappy teams are going to remain crappy. How about we give these teams who make the play-in us a morsel of hope that they could get a generational talent? Like,
yeah, but then you're sitting there going, like, do you really want to incentivize people to not play in the, like, to not win the play-in?
Also fair.
Because, like, if you really
want to... Because I tell you, you ask anyone in Dallas, they're pretty thrilled that they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, I mean, like, that's the other thing. It's like, when you watch how the Mavericks played, and I get it, it's not apples to apples, but if you watched how the Mavericks played against the Kings versus how the Mavericks played against the Grizzlies, that did not pass the smell test. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. PGA Championship starts this week. Timothy Gay is on the grounds in Charlotte. He's going to preview it with us here next on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Timothy Gay is a well-known sports writer and more. He's also the author of Rory Land, The Ups and Downs of Worlds, the World of Golf's global icon. He's joined us previously. He is live on the grounds at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. And really, I guess the first question is, Tim, is are you underwater?
I am a drowned rat, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Got caught in that miserable storm a little over an hour ago, and they have, I think, evacuated the premises. So I'm actually calling from a Barnes & Noble about 2.5 miles of the course.
The book is available today, so is it in stores at that Barnes & Noble?
It is, as a matter of fact, and I just signed a couple of copies.
That's exciting. So if you're in the Charlotte area, go see Tim out at the Barnes & Noble. All right, I guess this is kind of we'll start from the Rory perspective, and then we'll get into the more kind of big picture. I find myself feeling like this is like Valhalla last year, where I feel like it's a pretty good fit for Rory. It's a spot he's won before, and I'm feeling pretty good. But I don't know. This feels like one of those ones where it's like I'm just not ready to go. I'm ready to go from the world where we had to literally die 8,000 deaths to see him win to win a major, to just all of a sudden he's now just going to win back to back.
No, that's exactly right, Jeffrey. It does have that feel of Valhalla a year ago when he had played so brilliantly here at Quail Hollow, but just couldn't quite compete with Xander down the stretch at Valhalla. I saw him on the range about 2.5-3 hours ago. He looked terrific, beautiful rhythm through the whole bag, and they have those big scoreboards now where you can sort of follow the the distance they're hitting their shots and the speed with which they're hitting them. So it's just a fascinating experience to see all that come together. But he, played, I thought, very well at times at the Cricket Club in Philadelphia at the Truist last week. And I actually drove up from D.C. where I live and went up to Philadelphia to see that gorgeous Tillinghast design. Absolutely beautiful. Really fun to be part of it. And Rory actually had it going great on Saturday, got within, I think it was 3 or 4 shots of the lead on Saturday afternoon. And then classic McIlroy style, he bit off too much.
Oh, yeah.
He hit a kind of a crazy drive that bounced out of the trap and into the thick rough on number 7 and tried to muscle it all the way to the green and ended up hitting it an even thicker rough, put the ball in jeopardy, which he had not done until late on Sunday at the Masters. Really did a very good job at Augusta trying to keep his ball out of trouble Friday and Saturday and through much of Sunday's round. But classic Rory, you got to take the downs with the ups.
Well, and I think what the note now is, prior to Augusta, he was coming off a win and a 7th, and now he's coming off of a win and a 7th. Of course, the Augusta was that win. But I think this is kind of the bigger question that I have. Once upon a time, Rory, at least early on in his career, he really liked it when it was soft. And, if you look at Congressional, when he wins the U.S. Open, it was very soft.
Right.
If you look at Kiowa, it was actually pretty soft, especially by Kiowa standard. We had like a hurricane come through like on Friday.
Right.
I guess you'd say the Open wasn't necessarily soft, but it was softer by those conditions. And there was light wind. And then Valhalla was just an absolute deluge. That was, it's the South in August. We get a lot of rain. And so, but he's the new strategy for him is he likes it when it's firmer and faster. So is he going to be able to channel back to, all right, I've won a lot of majors on soft golf courses. How do you think the fit is right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. He hit driver at almost every opportunity last weekend at the Cricket Club in Philadelphia, and he clearly was tuning up for this week. So, he loves the Quail Hollow layout. He has won here 4 times. He's won it when it's been soft. He's won it when it's been a little bit firmer. This place just really meets his eye, and he loves to hit, that big high draw off the tee in Bell, and Quail Hollow seems to lend itself to that. I think his game now is more sophisticated. I think it's more complete than it used to be. I think earlier in his career, he could sort of only play on softer courses, even though he grew up in Northern Ireland, a half hour from County Down and about 45 minutes from Royal Portrush. He still preferred sort of American-style softer courses. But now I think he can play regardless of conditions. And the way he can feather his irons now, he can, hit it close when it's soft or figure out a way to, get it close when he needs to, kind of flight it down. So it's he's got a game that lends itself, I think, to almost any course these days.
I saw, I believe it was Curtis Strange said, after the Masters, when Rory asked, what are you going to ask me about now? Curtis flipped it on him in typical Curtis Strange fashion. Can you win all 4? Has that been the question on the grounds? I don't know how many media have actually been there. It just seems like everybody's running for cover the last 2 days. Right. But has that been the conversation around him?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we talked about this last time, Jeffrey, that the 25 majors all lend themselves to Rory, all places where he has either played extremely well in the past or ought to have played well. The U.S. Open coming up, of course, is Oakmont outside Pittsburgh. Again, as you pointed out the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, that's a big ball yard. That's a slugger's paradise, and Rory ought to do very well there. And then, of course, the Open Championship is back at Royal Portrush in his native Northern Ireland, which was a huge deal and also probably the biggest disappointment of his career, where he failed to make the cut in 2019. And he would love...
Well, I'd say biggest disappointment till Pinehurst.
Yeah, yeah, I think the miss from 2.5 and 3.5 feet.
That one hurt.
Will be, yeah, those hurt, but not making the cut at all and being so nervous on that first tee in the first round and not being able to put the ball in play.
I stayed up to it was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., and he just pumps his first tee ball out of bounds for those that didn't.
Now, he did also have an electric chase on Friday afternoon trying to make the cut, and it fell short.
And
but you're right, it's 100%.
Half his hometown was there. Yeah, I mean, Hollywood is only about a 45 minute drive from Portrush, and I think he probably knew just a huge portion of the people in his gallery that day, and I think that made him sort of extra apprehensive, and it just didn't work out for him.
Now here's the real question. Do we want to stack up too many PGAs? Because I've told all my friends, I got my eyes on Oakmont and eyes on Portrush. We've already got two PGAs. You don't want to be a PGA merchant, because I was laughing on Twitter, and I'm kind of being tongue in cheek. But like, sure. Justin Thomas is playing well. And if he's won a PGA here at Quail Hollow. But it's almost like if Justin Thomas were to win this week, he has three PGA championships. Two of which were at Quail Hollow, which is a regular tour stop. And the other one was, honestly, Mito Pereira throws it away, and Justin kind of backdoors his way into winning a major championship. Now, when we all count him up at the end of his career, they all count the same, and so I'm not denying that. But it does just feel, I don't know, there's this weird feel around the PGA where I think they thought the move to May was going to help them, but I'm not necessarily sure that's true.
Yeah, I think it's made the early part of the golf season too crowded. It like violates the biorhythms of golf or whatever, Jeffrey. I mean, in August, the PGA just sort of fit comfortably as the last major of the year. And now
it was your get out of jail free card. Like if you kind of kicked away the season, it's like, all right, I got one more chance.
No, that is exactly right. And you know, I agree, it's the least prestigious of the four, but still. Much to be said for winning a PGA, and any golfer would be thrilled to win this week.
I was looking back on last year's PGA because, as I mentioned to you, it reminded me of Valhalla.
Yeah.
It is still hilarious to think that we literally saw Scottie Scheffler get arrested, come out, shoot 66. Like there is part of me where this weird narrative is now developing. Is Scottie just a master's merchant? As the kids would say, to which I always scream, it's like, you'll act like he just has only won at Augusta. He's played five PGAs. He's finished in the top five four times. And like, it's not like he doesn't show up anywhere else. It's like he hasn't won there. I just kind of feel like the more I've been watching him this year, I think he's starting to get over the injury. I think he's starting to play a lot better. I just keep finding myself thinking, like, he's going to make some noise this week.
Yeah. Yeah, he. I think absolutely he will be on the leaderboard on Sunday afternoon. He's striking the ball just beautifully. Even though he's only won once all year, he has still played exceptionally well for the most part. And he really found a putting stroke a couple of weeks ago in Texas. And I think if he keeps that putting stroke here on putting on soft greens, which should help him. I think there is a very good chance that he and Rory will come down the stretch together. And I would not be at all surprised if Justin was right there with him. And let's not sleep on Jordan Spieth either. Jordan Spieth is going for a career
Grand Slam. He's just not doing it with the kind of notoriety that Rory did going into the Masters. But Spieth has a chance here to, you know, join that elite club, and he's been playing much better of late.
I want to discuss Spieth a little bit because,
yeah,
of Rory's not having the Grand Slam, you could kind of talk yourself into it. It's like, okay, you would think Rory, Augusta would be tailor-made for him. You know, big ballpark, right. You got to be able to drive it. For righties, you got to hit it right to left. You got to be able to hit some big draws to get yourself. And so for a while there was the, man, he's just going to win there inevitably. But then I started thinking, it's like, well, he's always been kind of casual with his approach play. And Augusta really is more about how close you hit it. Because if you think about some of the prestigious drivers of the generation, setting Tiger aside, but like Norman, Norman never won there. Ernie didn't win there. Davis Love didn't win there. Now Rory's conquered that. But the reason I bring that up is with Spieth, I think he's almost been at a disadvantage where it feels like the PGA, they've now gone to this setup in which it's usually these big ballparks that kind of become driving contests. And so for me, it's almost like I don't hold it against him that he hasn't won this because I don't think a lot of these have been great fits for him. Is this time a little bit different?
You know, it may be. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. It looked to me like his ball striking had really improved. His putter, which has kind of disappeared on him at times over the last couple of years, seems a lot better. In fact, I just watched him on the putting green a couple of hours ago. Gary Woodland was giving Jordan Spieth a putting lesson. And I wanted to kind of sneak a little bit closer.
Is that who you want to give you a putting lesson? I love Gary, but I don't think Gary is rolling off the rock.
No, I don't either, but I thought, well, you know, whatever, maybe it's a setup thing or, you know, get your eyeballs, you know, over this spot, whatever it may have been. But
has he tried looking at the hole again instead of looking at the ball?
Yeah, boy, that is just absolutely stunning. When he did that for those couple of years, all those 5 and 6 footers where he never really put the ball into his line of vision, just stunning. But you know, I think it would be very good for golf if Jordan were to take a run at the PGA because I think it would get everybody buzzing. It would help those Sunday afternoon numbers, which CBS would love to see.
I think another guy that would probably CBS would like to see was the guy that we saw paired with Rory in the final round. I just got a sneaking suspicion, and honestly, after Augusta, it's not gonna annoy me as much, but. Man, this feels like a good setup for Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, sure does. I mean, I don't care for, you know, Bryson all that much, but I think it's good for golf when he contends, and I think he's got a very good chance to contend this week. He just hits it a mile, as you know, and he can put the ball way up in the air on his approaches, which, if the greens stay as soft as they are at the moment, will be a real advantage. I think that's why McIlroy is likely to do well here this week, and also Scotty. They can all hit their approaches a mile high.
Is there any talk? I've seen Keegan Bradley, of course, a former PGA champion and the Ryder Cup captain. He's now getting asked. They had a Ryder Cup dinner. Is there still the tension between LIV and PGA Tour guys in terms of who Keegan Bradley will pick?
You know, I don't know. Like most golf fans, I've gotten so disaffected with the whole debate over LIV. It's been now almost 2 years since they reached the framework agreement, and for heaven's sakes, if we're going to reach an accommodation here with LIV, let's you know.
Well, apparently Trump is bringing it up in Saudi Arabia right now.
Well, you know, the last time he intervened,
it didn't work well.
No, it did not work well at all. So I don't know if things have changed, whether one side or the other has invited him back in, but it clearly there are some sticking points here, and I think when it's all said and done, books will be written about all of this. But at the moment, like most fans, I'm just disillusioned with the whole thing. I just want them to reach some kind of resolution so that guys like you and me can watch the likes of Cameron Smith and John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. I'm a huge Tyrrell Hatton fan. Play the best players in the world on the best courses in the world.
Do you have any faith that that's going to happen anytime soon?
No.
I mean, that's kind of the problem, right? Like, and so now, in a weird way, though, it's actually made these four tournaments feel like they matter even more. Yeah. I mean, you and I are watching it week to week, but I don't know about you, but I've even found myself being way more casual. It's like I have it on a Sunday afternoon when we're doing stuff, so like I'm aware of what's happening, what's going on, but like I'm not locked in week to week of, all right, well, you know, let's gear up for Hilton Head or let's gear up for Philadelphia Cricket Club, which should have been, hey, this is a cool course that we haven't seen before. It's a classic Tillinghouse, and there should have been a lot about it, but it's just like, man, I don't care. Sign me up for next week. That's all I really care about.
Yeah, I think most fans are in that same boat, Jeffrey, and it's I think it used to be that the tour would have maybe a dozen or at least close to a dozen big moments in the course of a year. I agree with you. It seems to have sort of fallen into oblivion a little bit, and things just aren't quite as exciting as they used to be. I think once we reach some resolution with LIV and the players come back and we get, big global events with big global players, I think golf will be in much better shape.
Another guy we have not mentioned is the defending champion, and Xander obviously has been fighting through an injury this year, but I mean, if you set up well at Valhalla, it doesn't seem to me like that Quail Hollow is too much of a reach. He's another guy that while he hasn't won at Quail Hollow, he finished second to Rory last year. He's had some success here. Are we maybe sleeping on Xander a little bit?
I think so, and I think Xander really had his moments at the Cricket Club. And looks to me like his putting stroke is smoother than it was earlier in the year. Looked a little jagged to me at times a couple of months ago. And his ball striking, which has always been the sort of backbone of his game, as good a ball striker as there is in the world, has also improved here. So I think like Jordan Spieth, Xander's game is on the upswing. And again, would not be surprised if he was in the mix on Sunday afternoon.
I saw the video of Hideki on Monday after they'd cleared out the grounds. Hideki was putting in the middle of what appeared to be a downpour. Has anyone actually figured out what he was working on? Like, was he trying to like see if the ball hydroplaned? I love Hideki like everybody else, but it's like,
oh sure,
what are you actually accomplishing there?
I think he had to have been just practicing his stroke because I saw the same video and wondered what he could possibly.
I thought it was like maybe if the rain was on the green, he could see if the ball was rolling on the line. Like I was trying to think of anything that could actually make sense.
No, exactly right. I think he was probably just working on his stroke, and it could have been in his hotel room, but he was just out in the downpour doing it. But, I think he is really an interesting guy. And he and his caddy are a big part of the tour right now.
He is Timothy Gay. The book is Rory Land, The Ups and Downs of World's Golf Global Icon. Do we have rain the entire weekend? I mean, are we in jeopardy of a Monday finish? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I think we are in jeopardy of that. I think it's going to be very tough to get this thing started on Thursday. When I left Quail Hollow about 2 hours ago, the first fairway was absolutely saturated, huge puddles in it. I know they're worried about getting this thing into shape for Thursday morning, and I'm not even sure if they're going to allow spectators back on the course tomorrow. So I had big plans to spend all 3 days of the practice stretch this week at the course, but it may not happen.
Lastly, on this, we're now starting to see Hunter Mahan has a quote that Quail Hollow is a lot like a Kardashian. It's modern, it's perfect looking, but there's not a lot of soul to it. which by the way, I actually thought was pretty spot on. JT's talked about it's an execution test, which is basically, and a lot of these players like that. It's hit it here, hit it to the green, and then here's your spot, and then the greens roll pure.
Yeah.
Do you think we're getting more aware of how much impact a course has on the championship, or do you think it's still just, we just care about the leaderboard?
No, I think the course in Quail Hollow is fascinating because it's very pleasing to the eye. I think there's some beautiful holes, but I think that criticism is probably warranted. And I don't know if you follow Jeff Shackelford, but Shackelford.
We both went to Pepperdine. Jeff played on the golf team.
I didn't know you were a Pepperdine guy.
I walked with the golf team.
Oh, terrific. All right. Well, anyhow, Jeff has been saying that the course lacks soul, that it lacks, you know, that sort of special identity, especially in the immediate wake of the cricket club.
Yeah.
And everyone genuflecting to Tillinghast. Be to come on a course that has been sort of messed with by first Arnold Palmer, who toughened it a little, and then Fazio, who toughened it quite a bit. It's it maybe just, you know, lacks that sense of character, but it has produced some fantastic finishes in the past at Wells Fargo and produced, and Justin Thomas, a very worthy champion last time the PGA was held there.
Tim, you're great to join us. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey.
That is,
talk to you again soon, man.
That is Timothy Gaig, and the book is Roryland. It's the up and down world of golf's global icon. It is available today for purchase. All right, when we come back, Tim's going to rejoin the program. We got to discuss, of course, the big injuries that have happened in the NBA, really one big injury in particular. We'll discuss that, but before we do that, I want to let you know that VIP Play is about to launch from Zen Sports. And that means that VIP Play will get you over 200 leagues to wager on and all your favorite bet types. You've heard of the live now, but you've never experienced live always, and you'll get that on VIP Play. Don't worry, they'll still have the VIP Players Club sweepstakes. Every bet you make on VIP Play gets you entries into the VIP Players Club sweepstakes. You'll earn one entry per bet, $1 per entry, and 10 times your entries on parlays and same game parlays. That has begun, and you can take advantage of that. The current contest will end on June 30th. You can also bet assured in Tennessee with the VIP guarantee. With VIP Play, everyone plays like a VIP, and that means you get 24/7 customer support from real people. You can earn entries into the Players Club sweepstakes with every bet, and you can even be able to cash out on a bet for full stake if the line hasn't changed, and much, much more. So go claim your VIP welcome bonus when you make your first bet of $5 or more, and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Just use the promo code Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Use the promo code Odyssey, and you can take advantage of that. VIP Play is now live in Tennessee. As always, gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to bet. VIP Play, it is live now. Go check it out from our friends over at Zen Sports. When we come back, let's get into the list. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.